Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Glad you could be here today. I don't know if you've noticed, when it's a little colder out, we have a little cold snap going on. People seem to move a little slower, at least I do, and so we've got people coming in. Today we're going to look at Ephesians 1:11 and 12, and inheritance, and what we have, and what God has set aside for us. And so, and we're going to be able to worship together and sing to the Lord. So why don't we stop and pray and ask God to bless our time in the service. Lord, thank you that you said that you go ahead of time to prepare a place for us, that you have set aside things for us and a life for us. So I pray that you bless us, help us to understand that, and help us to worship you with all that we have here together. Amen.
Well, we all stand. The only real announcement I have is that Darlita has been doing our breakfast during the summer, hot breakfast with Angie, and there's probably other helpers too that I'm forgetting, but Angie and Foster and Darlita, and then Darlita took over the continental breakfast in the fall. She's where we have, if you notice, we still have a little bit of breakfast in the morning, you know, some yogurt, what else, some little pastries and things like that we get, and they're just put out a little early in case people can come early for the prayer meeting, have a little something to grab, or if you run late, didn't get breakfast in the morning, you can grab that. Well, she's going to be with a surgery coming up, she's going to be unable to do that going forward for a while, so if anyone would like to pick that up, see her about what that involves. It's pretty easy because it's not cooking anything, so it's just putting some things out, or see me. And we'll get you connected into that. That's the need coming up. That's the only real announcement I have. However, we have one of our dear church members here, Dana and Dana Jr., are going to be moving shortly, in the middle of this week, to Pennsylvania. That's your home state, right? So back to his home state. But we thought we'd give him a little send-off, but I invited him to speak if he'd like to share a little testimony time about his time here. He said that he would like to talk about it. So let's give Dana a big hand. He's going to come up and share a little bit with us.
Howdy. I'm Dana. And I didn't prepare anything, but, you know, the stories, I've been living the story, so shouldn't be hard for me to convey to you what the last couple of years have meant to us. My wife died several years ago, and we were a part of, well, actually, we were going to a big church, but we weren't really knit in. You know, we were regular attendees. Dana was part of the Sunday school, and but it was such a big church that we'd get lost in the crowd. And when Johnny died, no one from the church even knew it. And quite honestly, I was just so crushed. we weren't even going to church for 6 months, 8 months, something like that. And then Barbie Eichen reached out to us right around Christmas time to invite us here. And I knew that Johnny was a part of the church here. Johnny had been a member here for I don't know how long, but she brought me here after we were first married because she wanted me to meet her fans. And so when Barbie invited us to the church service here over Christmas a couple years ago, it spoke to my heart because I know that Barbie loved my wife, and many of you here loved my wife. And I came here just to be around that spirit of remembrance for my wife. And you know, another funny little caveat here is just a couple of weeks before Barbie invited us, my brother-in-law was telling me that I needed to get Dana involved in Awana because he was talking about the great benefit. They have two children, and that's an hour and a half where he and his wife get to be adults. He was telling me I really needed to find an Awana program for Dana. And at the end of the church program, the Sunday or the Christmas program, I was talking with Barbie after the service, and I mentioned to her that my brother-in-law suggested that I find an Awana, and I thought I saw a flyer for Awana, I inquired about it, and I'm naturally kind of an introvert. I don't necessarily like to reach out that much. But I figured I told my brother-in-law I'd look, and so I'd look into it. Well, I brought Dana to Awana, and knowing my backstory, I couldn't leave Dana here out of my sight. I had been kidnapped when I was a child. And the thought of leaving my son amongst strangers, I couldn't handle that. So I would sit here Wednesday nights while he was at Awana. I don't know if anyone knew it, but I was here because I just couldn't let him out of my sight. And the Lord used that to kind of help knit me in here. I started talking with Mr. Fulmer first. And then it was just like a regular thing. We just started coming to church here, and the Lord has blessed us so much through this body. You all are just so real. You know, you don't come here to put on airs. You're not trying to outdo each other. You just love each other so well with the love of Christ. You guys have touched our lives. And it's going to be difficult for us to just move and not feel that little bit of a loss again. But I just wanted to thank you all. Thank you for all that you've put into our lives. And I just hope and pray that the Lord continues to prosper this church and the work that it's doing.
So I invite Greg and Dean up, and we're going to pray over Dana and just kind of send him off a little bit. He's really an ambassador for Christ wherever he goes, and so even though this isn't necessarily a formal missionary journey, it is sort of a missionary journey. You're going to a new place to be an ambassador, so why don't we just pray for Dana and Dana Jr. Father, we just lift up Dana and Dana Jr. to you. Thank you that you're the God of all comfort. You're the one that's been involved in comforting them. And thank you that we have the privilege of the last couple of years being a part of that, a part of your work, God, to comfort to support, to encourage, to love, to be there for Dana and Dana Jr., God. And we praise you for that opportunity. We praise you for his fellowship with us over the last couple of years and how much that's encouraged us, inspired us. Lord, just as you say, iron sharpens iron. And Dana and Dana Jr. have been a key part of our fellowship. And we're going to miss them greatly, but we trust them in your care and just ask that you do mighty things through them.
I thank you that you have a plan for his life, and he's been part of our family here. And I pray that you prosper him, and thank you that you've made a place for him in Pennsylvania, and that that is the way life works, is that we cannot always stay in one place. And I thank you that you've blessed him and you've blessed us through his kindred spirit, through his just generous heart. And although we'll miss him, I pray that you would help us all to mature together, even though we're separated for a little time by distance. Amen.
Amen, Lord. Thank you so much for Dana, and thank you for the ministry they have given to us, and how we've been touched by their lives. I just pray that you would, wherever they go, that you would use them mightily in the gospel, that you'd use both of them as they have in other people's lives, and that ministry would continue, and that would not die out, Lord. And I just ask you bless them, a special blessing on them, and that you would guide them and strengthen them, give them the things that they need and in all their paths, and just ask that you would be with them all the time. And Lord, I pray that you would touch other lives through what Dana has learned here. In your name we pray.
All right. Now is the time in the service we're going to have our normal offering. Sunday school kids, you guys can go to Sunday school. And enjoy the rest of the service as we continue our series on Ephesians 1.
Good. We are ready to go. Well, it's hard to follow that, isn't it? It's always hard to see friends you've gotten to know and become attached to move on to something else. You know, when we sent the team to Purdue out, there was one person who was coming around and coming to church, but had become really attached to one of the people who were on the team, and when they found out that we were sending people away, they were terribly upset. Says, I don't understand why you would do this. Why would you say, you know, I like this person. How on earth? It makes no sense to send them somewhere else, you know. And it was a hard conversation because I understand the struggle. Like, well, you know, we're on a mission. We're on a mission to try to bring the gospel to new places. And if we say, well, we all just like each other, so we're all going to stay here, the mission doesn't, the purpose of the Lord to bring truth to new places can't go forward. So it's a good thing that we have a good relationship. And so I appreciate you being willing to share. So we are continuing in our series in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to look at Ephesians 1, 11 and 12, and Paul talks, he's speaking to the church in Ephesus about inheritance, and in my past reading of the scripture, this is the part of the chapters and the books I would kind of skim over in my habit of reading to get to the things we were supposed to do. What are we supposed to do? Don't give me all this stuff in the beginning. That's just kind of superfluous. And I've realized if you look in the Bible, it is not just common, but God almost always, I would in fact say, always shows you why you should be doing things. Not just what you should be doing, but this is the reason. This is the reason why you should live this way. This is the reason the way things really are. And so this is really foundational in my own habit of life of being a doer. I want to know what I'm supposed to do, but I didn't always look at why. And even in our culture today, in American culture, we, not you, but we as a culture, we say, this is how you should be living. You should live a good life. You should live a moral life. You should be helping other people. You should stay with your wife. We say all these things, right? You shouldn't break the law. And we say all those things, but we don't always say why. As a matter of fact, we're trying to separate those. Where some people are saying, well, God isn't real and God doesn't exist. But you still should do all these things. But why? And if you don't have the why, you know what happens? You end up saying, you should do all these things because we say so. That's all you have. If you take the reason away, you should do all these things because we say so. And this, and God doesn't do that. He says, this is the reason you should live with all that you have, the Christian life. So this is the foundation, or part of the foundation. That's what we've been looking at over the past several weeks. And so why don't we pray, and we'll move into this a little bit. God, thank you that you do not ask us to do things out of rote obligation. You ask us to ponder and understand who you are and what you've done. Thank you for not withholding the truth from us, that you give this to us in your word. Please help us, help me today to communicate well. So we're going to look right into Ephesians 1:11, and I'm going to break this down into pieces, but let's look at the whole verse first. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. So what this means is you, as a Christian, if you're a Christian, if you've trusted in Christ, you have an inheritance. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, this is one verse, but how many concepts do you see in that verse? You have an inheritance. You've been predestined according to the purpose of his will. Is that three or four? Who works, so the God who created everything, who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, you know, I have a will, but my will is in conflict with myself sometimes. I find that I don't work all things in accordance with my own will, and I'll give you one example, is my son made some brownies last night, you know, chocolate brownies for teen group, and they were good. And, well, I don't know if they were good, but it's, you know, you hear, get that smell in the kitchen. Now, I'm trying to lose a little weight. Now, this is the counsel of my will. I'm trying to lose a little weight, and I smell the chocolate brownies wafting through the house. And I go, have you saved some from your father? Maybe some were accidentally smashed beyond recognition, and they're not presentable for teen group. And I'm in conflict with myself, and I'm trying to lose weight, but I want to sample some of the brownies. And I didn't. But sometimes my will is in conflict. God's will is never in conflict. He knows what is best, and he always acts in accordance. So we see that we're fallible, or at least I am. So that's four concepts in this one verse. But let's look at verse 12. Let's look at verse 12. It goes beyond that, so that we, Paul's talking about himself, I think. We're going to look at that in a more detail later. That we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be the praise to his glory. So we're dealing with five or six different concepts in these two verses here, and we're going to look at these in a little more detail as we walk through the meanings here. So let's break this down a little more. So it says here, in him we have obtained an inheritance. Now he is speaking to the Ephesians in context. I believe this transfers to every Christian, that when you trust in Christ, you have an inheritance. So I feel comfortable saying you have an inheritance. You have an inheritance from God that no one can take away. You have an inheritance. Second piece, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things, so God is working all things according to the counsel of His will. So God has always planned all of this to come together in your life, even though you may not see it in the moment, as life is a struggle and confusing, and we don't see the future, we only see the present. But God is working all these things out so that we were the first to hope in Christ. That's the other one. That we might be the praise to His glory. To me, that's kind of a funny phrase. It turns out that phrase is used in other places in the Scripture. And we'll look at that in detail. So we're going to look at these in four or five different blocks. And so first, we're going to look at inheritance. So, you know, even in my lifetime, I was born in 1966. The internet did not exist, and I think it is such a privilege to live in a time when so much information is available to you. So I'm going, okay, inheritance is, what does inheritance mean? I looked it up on the internet. You know what I got? A thing that is inherited. Thank you very much. So I dug a little deeper, and I go, there has to be a deeper meaning to this. So the practice of passing on property upon the death of an individual. That's a common translation. So the passing on of something to someone else upon the death of an individual. So something else has something and passes it on to someone else. So I was thinking, practically, what is... So the Bible says we have an inheritance, and as a matter of fact, the Bible says we should look at that and consider what that is for our own lives. And I go, well, what is it? What is the inheritance? What does it really look like? Can I look at it? Does the Bible say? And to be honest, there are some things that are very specific, but in some things, it's a little vague. It's a little vague about what it is. So what is the inheritance for a Christian? And I pulled out a couple concepts, and there's much more depth to this. But when Jesus was talking to the disciples, He said, I'm leaving. I'm not staying with you. One of the things He said in John 14, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. So you in heaven, when you get to heaven, you will have a place that is yours. He said this. He says, I'm leaving to prepare a place for you. Now, my wife and I, actually my whole family and I, when I moved to West Chicago, we bought a house that was a foreclosure. And actually, we pulled up in the driveway. It was a very big house. It was bigger than we're looking for. I told my wife, we're not buying this. We're just going to look at it because it's the same price as everything else because of the whole financial distress thing. So, well, lo and behold, you know how God has a sense of humor. We ended up buying that house. But now that the kids are moving out, we're going, that's kind of big, and we're looking at downsizing. And as you get a little older, you have some preferences, and I find that there's certain types of houses we've started looking that I really don't like the layout too much. And I was in one of them this week. I was taking pictures of it, and it's that style of house that I really don't like too much. And I thought, but it was a beautiful neighborhood, nice street, and I thought, well, maybe I'm looking for a smaller house. Maybe I'll like this. And it was okay, and I walked inside, and I go, I didn't tell the homeowner that, by the way, I don't like your house. But I wouldn't buy that. Now, in heaven, if The creator of the universe makes a place for you. If he makes a place for you, do you think you will get there and go, well, not really what I was thinking. It's kind of mediocre. No, I think, and we all know that our thinking is limited by in so many ways, but I think we will never be done being in awe of what God has created. I think we'll get there and we'll go, you made this for me. You made this for, this is for me. We'll be forever in awe of what he has made and reserved for us. That's what I think. Another thing that is reserved, an inheritance for us, is perfect relationships. You know, relationships take compromise. There's sin and there's struggle, there's different perspectives. But and you know how it kind of goes in relationships, that there's people who you probably get along with very easily, and those relationships are easy, and then there's some that are a struggle. And you know how it kind of works, maybe you don't do this, but you know how you can, the ones that are harder, you kind of avoid some of those people. And you know, when they're your family members, you can't avoid them. You can't like go somewhere else. And so the perfect, but in heaven, you'll have perfect relationship. It'll all work all the time, easily. And you'll leave a conversation like, wow, that was so enjoyable. I enjoyed so much being with them. I want to do that again. I want to be next to them. And you'll go, I will do that again. Let's go be together. And you'll be able to do that. And your inheritance is righteousness and good standing before God. You inherit that. That is given to you. This is so hard to conceive of because we struggle with sin so much. But perfect standing before God. You inherit that. You'll be totally clean. No imperfection. All the struggle, all the pain, gone. You inherit that. And lastly, full restoration of your body and your, that you will be fully restored to what God always intended you to be. You know, about maybe 8 years ago, I tried lifting something that was way too heavy for me. And it was my threw my back out, worst that has ever happened. It has never been the same. It's never been the same. And I think about it now. I go, oh, can I lift that? Maybe, maybe not. If I do that, will I be okay? Maybe, maybe not. I have to do exercises and all that. My chiropractor says, these exercises you should do every day for the rest of your life. I go, okay. I look forward to the day when my body is fully restored. I don't have to worry about that. Are you discouraged sometimes? Do you feel distant? Depressed a little? That will be gone. Fully gone. It's one of the things you inherit. So we have an inheritance. What it exactly looks like, we really don't know. But these are things, some of the things we know. Now, in 1 Peter, I want to look at this because Peter, not just Paul, but Peter says we should consider and weigh these things in our lives as part of being living the Christian life. You can't really do it well if you don't consider what is out in front of you. So I'm going to look at this verse in 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And here you go. Here's the inheritance part. So, again, here it is again saying why. This is why this has happened. Peter's doing the same thing. Why should you live this way? Because of this. Because we have been born again to a living hope and inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. You know, I was with an older gentleman once, and he was really proud of something. I went to his house, and he had these ancient battle axes that he went to England, and he had them hidden because they were valuable, I guess. And he had them hidden and wrapped in cloth in the back of this closet in his house, and he showed them to me, and he hid them back in the closet. And then he passed away, and I wonder if anyone ever found them, because they were hidden in this hidden space in the back of the closet. But they would tarnish and fade and be gone. It says here, an inheritance that's imperishable. No one can take away your inheritance. You can't give it away. It's reserved for you. It's undefiled. It's kept. It's unfading. It will last forever. Who by God's power, you by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation that we really don't understand. It's being revealed in the last time you're going to be saved. You'll fully understand it later. What should this cause? Why it should you should rejoice? And I like this because there's a lot of depth to this. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. He didn't say that your trials are easy, that there's no struggle. He says you will be grieved by various trials. Life is a great struggle, but there's a balance in seeing the future. What God has reserved for you is way beyond the struggle that is here. And we know the struggle of life is great. We know it is. Okay. The next thing he says is that you have been predestined, that God has called you for this. What does that mean? I think it means that God has intended that you would always be part of this. He always intended that you would be part of his family, that he desired to bless you. He always wanted to do this. It was always his intent to be generous to you. And here's the part that's a little, sometimes people don't like, that God is working all things according to his will. Remember that? That you would face hardship and realize your need for him. God has always intended that we would walk through this life, realize our need, look to the future, and learn how to live a life of faith. And this is the same sentence, according to the purpose of his will. He says, it says in the verse, who works out all things according to the purpose of his will. This verse is in the next chapter. This next verse that's up here, it's a little small. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand. So God created you. He always intended you to be doing good things that he planned to happen before today. Before the beginning of time, he has this plan, and he wants you to walk in that. He always planned for that. He always did, because that's the best thing for your life, for the kingdom, and for everyone else's future. That is God's plan. That's hard to conceive for me, that God, because I always think of my life as, well, I'm in charge of it. I can choose what I want. And how does God know? Well, God knows everything. God knows what I'm going to choose. God knows where my struggle is. And he always planned that we would follow him and we'd be part of his family. So this next part, that's the end of verse 11. We're going to move into verse 12. And this is the part that I don't think applies to us, because I think it applies to the early Christians. Because he says that. He says, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ, he says, we're the first ones. We're the first to hope in Christ. And I think there's three options of who is he talking about? Who is he talking about? Now, there's three possibilities that I see. He could have been talking about the Jewish people. That's who Paul was. He's writing this letter. He says he could have been saying, we, the Jewish people, were the first to put faith in Christ. Because He could also be saying that the believers in Ephesus, he could be saying us and you at the church in Ephesus are the first, because it was one of the early churches to believe in Christ. And then this next part, this is a little interesting. The way this can be translated, if you go back to the Greek, he said, we who had before hoped in Christ. Now, it's possible that he's really referring to the Jewish nation who had hoped in the coming Messiah for all time. That he's saying the Jews had always put their faith and hope in the Messiah coming, and now he's here. So, and I have not studied this out in great detail, I don't think we have enough information to pick one of these two, but he's referring to the early church. We who had hoped in Christ well, let me look at the exact translation here. Might be to the praise of his glory. So we who hoped in Christ might praise him and praise his glory. So I think practically this means to give people good reason to glorify God. Now this is an interesting thing that we're supposed to live good lives because of all this, because we have an inheritance, because God calls us into this, that we're not of this world. Not everyone is going to glorify God. And God gave everyone free will, and they all have their right to choose, and God gave everyone the chance to do this, to give good reason to that. So this concept of giving praise to God, I want to look at this. There's examples of God's glory in the Old Testament. It's a similar translation. In the book of Exodus, now, Moses had developed a very close relationship with God. And Moses asked God a favor. In Exodus 33, he said, God, can I see your glory? Can you show me yourself? We relate, but I want to, can I see that? And God said, well, you can't really, you'd be dead if you, so I'll work out a way where you can see part of this. And this is interesting. This is in Exodus 34, God worked out a way for Moses to see this. And this is what happened. The Lord descended into a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. It's not Moses proclaiming the name of the Lord. It's God proclaiming his own name, his own glory. This is what he said. Look at this. The Lord passed before him. So the Lord passed before Moses, and he said about himself, he said, the Lord, a God merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God says this because what is God's glory? God is slow to anger. He desires to forgive. He's steadfast and loving. God says this about himself. Verse 7, keeping steadfast. So God is revealing himself. Moses is saying, can I see your glory? Can I see who you really are? And Moses hears this as he sees God's glory. God is describing himself. God is going, this is part of my glory. This is part of who I am. Keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. But there has to be justice too. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity on the fathers and children and the children's children, the third and fourth generation. God says, I'm a just God who desires to forgive everyone. That is my glory. So you know what happened right after this? Moses sees this, hears this, has this intimate time with God and says, God, let's go down to the Israelites, and there you will forgive them. And he even describes them. Moses says, for they are a stiff-necked people. They are a stubborn, stiff-necked people, but I will go with you, and you will forgive them. Because that is who you are. That is who you are. So I want to wrap up here and talk about the purpose of what is all this? What is the purpose of your inheritance? So I had, I told you before, I was kind of, I do that a lot. We're trying to downsize. I want to get my house on the market so we can sell it. And so I'm going through all the stuff that I own. And you know, when you have space, well, you're probably more organized than I am. When you have space, you fill it up with stuff. At least that's what I do. And I have had a fondness for things that fly. And I have all these engines because I used to fly. In the old days, we had these old motors that I have, some that my father gave me from high school, you know, that we used in high school, and which was a few years ago. And so I gathered up, I had six of these engines that I haven't used in years. And I go, well, I'm going to sell these. And so I put them up for sale. And this is, and I got down, and I says, well, I can't sell this last one. I have to keep one. Now, I haven't used this in 15 or probably more than 20 years. It just sits in a box. And I go, why can't I sell this? Why can't I get rid of this? And I go, well, you know, and I love things that fly. I always have. And I go, well, why is that? I said, well, it's because it reminds me of my father. You know, my father, he worked for a company that rebuilt jet engines and all this stuff. And so we were always into aviation. But when he and I did stuff together, we built things. When we did this, we were doing something together. And I says, well, I can't get rid of this. No, I don't even use it. But it reminds me of my father. And how much he cared about, how much we did together. Now, I think, so you have an inheritance in heaven. Now, you think when you get that inheritance that you're going to go, look what I got. I have all this good stuff. I don't think so. I think when you see how gracious God is, you will go and I will go, I am so valued by God. Look at what he gave to me. It'll remind you of God's graciousness and God's goodness. And God wants you to have all those things, but it will remind us all of how good God really is. How gracious. When you see how generous he is, it'll point back to God. It'll go, oh, look at my stuff. It'll be, and that's what it does. That God, look how important I am to God. That's one of the things our inheritance does. Why don't we pray and we'll have the music team come up. God, thank you. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for drawing things together. Thank you for promising things to us that cannot perish and cannot evaporate and cannot rust or destroy. Thank you for reserving for us a place in heaven in your Son's name.